All right, let's jump into the Word of God today. You can find my notes, as always, at brendanwitten.com. You can also find them at the Toronto City Church app. Or if you'd like, contact the office, and we can email them to you and get those notes to you. Let's pray, and then we are going to dive right in. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you just for the opportunity we have to be here. Lord, we thank you for your Word. And Lord, we thank you for the power that is in your Word. And so I thank you today as we take some time here to go into your Word together. Lord, I thank you that it is not just a religious exercise that we are participating in. God, but your Word is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And as we go to your Word together, God, you are going to work in each one of our lives. We open our hearts up to receive. Our prayer, our ears are open to hear, our eyes are open to see, and I thank you and declare that we are going to be doers of your Word and not just hearers in the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed with me, said, amen. The title for my message today is Anointed with Power. Everyone say Anointed with Power. As we mentioned, and if you've not been around for the last couple months, just to update you, we have made a decision in 2020, we definitely feel for this year, and we'll see where God takes it beyond that, but we've made a decision to take one Sunday a month and really focus in and lean in to the area of healing and the area of the supernatural. And so today we are going to continue with that. We did the first sermon focused in that area at the start of February. It's not the start of March, and so we're doing another one. If you want to go back, you can listen to the first one that we did, which was entitled Why Healing, where we talked about the importance of healing. But just before we dive into the notes here, I want to just stir your heart. I want to declare several things over you. I want to remind you, first and foremost, I want to declare over you today that you have a destiny, purpose, and calling over your life. I want to just speak that into you once again today. God has called you with purpose. God has called you with destiny. You are not here just by accident. You are not in the kingdom of God right now by accident. God knew that you would be born in this time, in this age, in this season. He knew that he would have you in this city and in this region at this time. And it's because there's great purpose over your life. God has a purpose for you. God has a calling for you. And I want to encourage you and declare over your life that you are called to the purposes of God in this generation. You are not here just to take up space. You are not here just to come to church, sit through messages, go out, try not to sin, hope you make it to heaven one day. You are called to the purposes of God in this generation. That is what God has placed over your life. And I want you to hear it. I want you to see it. I want you to believe that more than ever before, because it's as you engage with it by faith that you begin to walk in it. I want to remind you and declare over you today that you are a rescue ship Christian, not a cruise ship Christian. Again, to work with this metaphor, rescue ship Christians are committed to seeing people come to know Jesus Christ. Cruise ship Christians are committed to their own comfort and what's easiest for them. And we here at Toronto City Church, by God's grace, are endeavoring to build a rescue ship church where we recognize that this is not just about us. This is not just about, well, I like the music, I like the message, I like this, this is comfortable, this is easy. Now, I hope you like the music, I hope you like the message, but that's not our ultimate purpose. Our ultimate purpose is saying, listen, we're here, this is awesome, but there's many people out on the streets right now, out in the world, that need the love of Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you, because we want to remind ourselves of that. Or else it's so easy to get into these mental gymnastics of, oh, this message and this doctrine, this theology. What's the point? The point is knowing God and then making him known, right? And you are called to know God and you are called to make God known. Amen? Someone just declare with me. Say, I'm called to know God. And say, I'm called to make him known. Come on, someone say, I'm a rescue ship Christian. You are one who's going to choose calling over comfort in the name of Jesus. And so in light of all that, I just want to remind you, I'm not here today to entertain you. I hope you enjoy the message, but that's not my goal. My goal is to equip you. Why? Because God's got some things for you to do. You ready to go to work? All right, that was like five of you. You ready to go to work? All right, ready to go to work. All right, so as we said, this year, we wanted to really take at least once a month, maybe in certain seasons we might go even further and go in several weeks in a row, but to really lean into healing and to the supernatural.
I'm really actually intrigued by this because as I've talked with some other friends and just got a sense in other churches, this is something that the Holy Spirit's not just saying in our church, but I'm talking with fellow pastors and friends who, as they've come into 2020, God is stirring signs and wonders. God is steering our heart for healing in their church congregation. So it's good to know that we're part of a larger body. Amen? We always want to have a kingdom mindset and a kingdom mentality. We are about the kingdom of God. We are about the purposes of God. It's not just about our church. And so we want to really go and dive into healing and the supernatural power of God. And so I said, last month we talked about why healing. And so you can go back, you can listen to the MP3, but we took some time to talk about why is this important? Why does this matter? Why go after healing? There's a lot of things we could focus on. Why healing? And so we talked about that. But this week I want to talk to you and I want to build on top of that. And I want to talk to you about being anointed with power. Let's go to Acts 10:38. Now get ready. If you're on your screen or whatever way you go, I've got lots of scriptures. You know, back in the day, it used to be you have to flip, you know, back and forth. But not too many of us have physical Bibles in here. Some of us do. And so you're extra anointed if you've got a physical Bible, but it's much easier on your phone to find it. But Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Everyone say with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Some Bible teachers have correctly said this almost could be the mission statement of Jesus when he was on earth. The mission statement of what he was doing and what he was all about. Obviously, there's different ways that you could phrase that or break it down. But the first thing I want you to see from this verse was that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. This was a major focus and a major part of his ministry. I would actually suggest to you that it is very core to his focus and core to his ministry. So much so that here in the book of Acts, when they're talking about what he did, right at the top of the list was he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And I want to encourage you today, as Christians, as Christ-like ones, we are called to have the same perspective. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. And so in Jesus' name, you and I are called to go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil. In Jesus' name, our church is called to be a place and called to be a people that do good and heal all who are oppressed of the devil. If you look at the ministry of Jesus, he went about teaching, preaching, and healing the sick. It's interesting, all of this had to do with doing good, and all of it had to healing all oppressed the devil, because there was power in preaching, and there was power in teaching, but it brought him into a place where the power of healing. And so we see this in the ministry of Jesus. But we also see from this verse that Jesus did this because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Everyone say with power. And so today I want to take some time to stir our faith about this aspect of power. Because Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, and he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power to do this. So we're going to talk about being anointed with power. So I'm going to tell your neighbor, you're anointed with power. Now, where it says, let's talk about this word power for a second. The word power comes from the Greek word dunamis. Maybe some of you have heard of that word. The Bible was originally written, the Old Testament in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. And so that's why we have translations. But the actual word that was used when it talks about he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and the majority of time when you see the word power in the New Testament, it is this Greek word dunamis. It also can be translated some other things besides power, ability, different things of that nature. But it's this Greek word dunamis. Interestingly enough, it's where the word dynamite actually comes from. So that should give you an idea already, because when the guy who created or invented dynamite was trying to think of how to describe this powerful, explosive force, he went back to this word dunamis, which referred to power. Now, what does dunamis mean? Well, dunamis means strength, power, or ability, particularly for performing miracles. That's what it means. It is the strength of God. Dunamis speaks of God's strength. Not only does it speak of the strength of God, but it also speaks of the power of God. How many know that God is powerful? Amen. How many know that God is more powerful than anything you could ever imagine? Right? Well, dunamis talks of that power. Right? That's what dunamis speaks of. Furthermore, dunamis speaks of ability. Dunamis speaks of God's ability. So we see that this word power or dunamis speaks to God's strength. It means power. It means ability. And then it's particularly focused on performing of miracles. And I want to just take you to a few scriptures because I want to show you that Jesus' ministry was based around this dunamis power of God. It, again, was not a side issue to him. He was very central about going and demonstrating and manifesting the power of God. Let's look at Luke 4:14. And again, we're going to go a lot of scriptures here, so just get ready to move. Luke 4:14 says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out throughout all the surrounding country." Everyone say, the power of the Spirit. Now, it's very interesting here, and this will be a bit of a theme through our entire message today. This verse is in the context of where Jesus has just come out of the wilderness after 40 days in prayer and fasting. So right before he went into the wilderness, if you go back a chapter or two, we will see that he was baptized by John the Baptist, which again, just a little bit of a side plug in here. Even Jesus got baptized. He was setting an example for us. If you're a believer and you've not yet been baptized, you're missing out. So you can get baptized next week. Just sign up, get plugged in, get involved. We'd be more than glad to have you be baptized. We're excited about it. But we see Jesus was baptized, and the Bible says when he's baptized, he came up. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And then the Father said over him, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." And so the Spirit came upon Jesus. And it actually says that Jesus, filled with the Spirit, went into the wilderness. But then we see here that he returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. In other words, what this suggests to me is I can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but not yet walking in the power of the Spirit. That there is something for us to believe for, to pray for, and contend for, that we say, I want to walk in the power of the Spirit. You know, here at Toronto City Church, we are a, what you could call a Pentecostal or a charismatic church. We believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But guys, I want to encourage you, and it's part of the heart of this message and part of the heart of this season that we're in. I want us to be a church that doesn't just talk about the Holy Spirit, but I want us to be a church that's walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't just want you to be a Christian that talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be a Christian who walks in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is doing a work in us, and part of why we're believing and praying and contending the way we are is we need to rise up, and it's time for the church to rise up, even in our nation, in a fresh way of walking and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. But see, we see Jesus came and he was in the power of the Spirit. That's that Greek word dunamis. Luke 4:36 says this, "And they are all amazed and said to one another, what is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." Again, they're speaking of Jesus. This was religious leaders. This was people around who watched him, but they saw the power. They saw the power. They saw the ability of God. They saw the action of God. You know, there was a, I've maybe saw over the fast time, we were promoting an online series called The Chosen. And it kind of takes biblical characters and biblical stories and Jesus, and it kind of tells a whole story around it. And obviously some of it, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us, so it wasn't sure. So they get creative with it. But the creative story, and part of what was so powerful in the first episode, I don't know if any of you saw it, but it was just really there. They show where it's Mary Magdalene, who Jesus delivered from demonic spirits. But they showed Nicodemus as kind of a religious leader being called in to try and do an exorcism on her as she is filled with these demonic spirits. And he goes in, and long story short, without giving away the entire episode, but he can't do anything. Like, and he leaves terrified because he realizes all that he's trying to do is doing nothing. And he says she's well. But you can see throughout the episode, it sticks with him and it bothers him. And then by the end of the episode, she encounters Jesus and one word from Jesus and she's completely. So why? Because all of a sudden she encountered power. Right? We need power, guys. Right? We're dealing with a spiritual battle right now. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness. And I want you to know right now, guys, we do have an enemy. We don't need to be afraid of the enemy. We don't need to put an inordinate amount of focus on the enemy, but we also need to understand we have an enemy. And I'll tell you what is going to deal with the enemy. It's not going to be nice songs. It's not going to be nice programs. It's not going to be nice systems and nice buildings and lights and fog machines. What is going to deal with the enemy is the power of God. Right? And so we've got to believe for the power.
Right? It's about the power. If we go further here, Luke 5:17 says, on one of those days, he was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of law were sitting there, and everyone had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Another translation some of you might be familiar with says, the power of the Lord was present to heal. And so we see here now this connection between power and healing. And the power was with him to heal. God wants us, when we gather together, for his power to be present to heal. His power to be present to deliver. His power to be present to set free. But not just in this church building as we gather together. But everywhere we go, that because we're filled with the Spirit and we're walking in the power of the Spirit, the power of God is present to heal. Light always shines best in darkness. You don't have to be afraid of the darkness. Just make sure the light is shining brightly inside of you. That is the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Somebody tell your neighbor, we want the power. Luke 6:19 says, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out of him and healed them all. Right? The power of God was in him because he was filled with the Spirit, but the power came out, and the power healed them all. Now, I know some of you maybe are listening to me or maybe listening via MP3, and you're saying in your mind, okay, that's great, Pastor, but that was Jesus. Right? Like, this is the Son of God we're talking about. This is Jesus. And so, of course, he walked in power. Of course, he had power. But that's Jesus, and I'm me. And I just don't know if that power is here for me. Right? It's easy for us to believe that Jesus walked in power. Right? If Jesus went to work with you, you would have a lot of expectation for what was going to happen in that workplace. Right? If I stood up here on a Sunday morning and said, family, I've got a great surprise. Special guest speaker, Jesus Christ, is here to speak today. How many know we would be expecting a good service? Right? How many know? If I mentioned that in advance, you'd be here early. You'd be ready. You'd be fighting over the front row. Whatever you need, Jesus Christ is preaching. Right? And so it's easy for us, and rightfully so, because he's like, I believe in power. But where the disconnect comes is we say, yes, that's him, but I don't know about me. But let's go a little deeper and see what the scriptures say. Someone says, well, great, Pastor, that was Jesus, but what about me? Well, Luke 24:49, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father from upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And so what we see here is Jesus is talking to his disciples. For 3 years, he has walked in and demonstrated the power of God. For 3 years, he's walked in and manifested on a daily basis. But he's getting ready to leave. He's talking with his disciples about leaving. They are not happy about this, as I can imagine none of us would be. You don't want Jesus to go. We want you to stay with us forever. But he says, I'm going. He says, but go to Jerusalem and watch this. He said, wait until you're clothed with power from on high. In other words, we see that he's saying the same power that I've walked in, I am going to start clothing you with that power. Someone tell your neighbor, put on the power. You are called to be clothed in power. Acts 1 verse 8 further builds upon this. And it says, Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, guys, I want to encourage you. Again, we've already been preaching about, but see, the Holy Spirit comes upon you so you can walk in power. The Holy Spirit comes upon you so you can have power over sin, so you can have power over sickness, you can have power over fear, you can have power over depression, oppression. There is no power of the enemy that is greater than the power of our God. And the Holy Spirit has come upon you not just so you can suffer in silence and have to deal with getting beat up by the enemy your entire life. No, he says, I have power that I want you to walk in. The Holy Spirit's my power. You know, it's interesting because even as a Pentecostal, charismatic type church, we obviously believe in the evidence of speaking in tongues. But I think sometimes we need to be cautious, or we need to be honest with ourselves, that maybe we've put a lot of emphasis on speaking in tongues and not so much emphasis on walking in the power. Right? We're not just called to, and I'm not against speaking in tongues, and actually praying in the Spirit is part of what helps you grow in walking in the power of God. But he said the Holy Spirit's coming, not just so you can pray in tongues, not just so you can get a little Holy Ghost in a church service or something like that. The Holy Spirit came so you can walk in power. Someone say, I'm called to walk in power.
So we see that Jesus walked in power, but he says, I want you as my children to walk in power. Acts 4, verse 7 in the early church, it says, and when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Acts chapter 4 is the story of the man who was lame at the gates of the temple. And Peter and John came, and he was looking for something. They said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. What did they have? They had power. And they said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible said he got up, and he began to walk, and he began to run and leap, and he began to praise God. Guys, that is power. That is what the power of God is all about. And we see here that the religious leaders, they weren't having a theological debate with them. They were having a theological argument. They could not argue against the power they'd seen. And they were asking, by what name or what power did you do this? Guys, I believe that one of the strategies and one of the things God wants to release even in this coming decade is that as we walk in the power of God, it's going to start being a sign and a wonder that gets people's attention. We can argue theology till we're blue in the face. Well, I agree. I disagree. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. But when we see the power of God manifested, it's going to cause people to question, say, what name, what power is this that you're walking in? And you're able to say, it's the power of Jesus Christ. But see, we see they walked in power. Acts 4, verse 33, and it says, and with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Again, guys, see that. With great power. And so now someone might still be listening and go, well, Pastor, I don't know, that's like the apostles and the early church, and maybe like they just needed that in the early church, but we don't need that anymore. But here, let's read a little further. Let's go to Acts 1 Corinthians 2, 4 to 5. And this is Paul talking about, and this is where he's speaking to the larger body. And he said, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God, guys, can we have a humble moment here right now? Can we today consider the fact that maybe as Canadian Christians, maybe just because we've gotten used to it, we've got a lot of faith that we have put in the wisdom of man, a lot of faith that we've put in really polished preaching, a lot of faith that we've put in a nice setup and screens and lights and smoke machines and buildings and nice strategies and great marketing situations, and we've put a whole bunch of faith in. I'm not saying these things are necessarily bad, but the Apostle Paul said, I don't want my faith to be in the wisdom of man, but I want my faith to be in the power of God. And I don't want your faith to be in the wisdom of man. Yes, we're going to walk in excellence, and yes, we're going to do the best we can on every level, but we want to make sure at the center of it that we are walking in the power of God, and that when people come and join us together, that they are experiencing the power of God, that we would not put our faith in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I want to encourage you, I believe God is looking for people. I want us to be a church family that rises up where we say, hey, we are willing to press in for the power of God. We are willing to pray to walk in the power of God. We are willing to make the steps that we need to make and to grow so we can walk in the power of God. God is looking for some people like the woman with the issue of blood who had no business being out in the crowd, but she knew she needed a power. Time hadn't solved her problem. She went to every doctor she could find. It didn't solve her problem. She spent all of her money. It didn't solve her problem. But then she heard about Jesus, and she heard about a man who was anointed by the Holy Spirit and power. And so she went out at great personal risk to herself, and she pushed her way through the crowd, and she grabbed the hem of his garment. Why did she do that? Because they were taught in that culture that the anointing on the priest, the anointing of the power, would be put on the head and would flow down to the edges of the garment. And so she was grabbing a hold because she said, I need the power. And when she touched him, the Bible said power or virtue went out of Jesus. And he said, who touched me? And the disciples looked at him like they were crazy. They said, Jesus, everybody's touching you. You're surrounded by a crowd. He said, no, somebody touched me because I felt power go out of me. There was someone in a spirit of faith who said, I'm not just going to settle for what is normal. I'm believing for power. And it was her touch that drew on the power. He didn't even do it. He didn't even know it was coming. It was her faith that drew on that power. Who will be like the woman with the issue of blood
who will say, I'm going to press through the opposition. I'm going to press through the discomfort. I'm going to press through some of the questions, and I'm going to get a hold of this. Why? Because we want to see the power of God. Who would be like that and say, we're going to press in for the power. We're going to pray for the power. We're going to go after the power together. We're believing for power. Somebody say, we need the power. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20 says, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. Can I suggest that the challenge we are facing, I say this very humbly, I say we, is because we've got a lot of talk and little power. Now, I'm not saying this to demean the things God has done, guys. There's lots of amazing things that are happening. So I'm not taking away from that. But my heart is just so stirred today. Because if I'm honest, I'm saying, God, there's a lot of talk, but I want to see more power. Why? Because the kingdom is about power. It is not just about talk. Yes, we need to talk the talk. But God is raising up his people who are going to walk the walk and demonstrate the power of God. You ever heard someone say, a picture is worth 1,000 words? Why don't you know a power and encounter with God is worth 10,000 words. It's going to fill everything in, but it takes people who say, we're going to press in and believe for the power. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says this, For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of... Come on, preach with me here. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you a spirit of... And of... self-control, or of a sound mind. Guys, we want the spirit of love. That's part of the Holy Spirit. We want to encounter the love of God. But guys, and we want to encounter the sound mind. But listen, we need to rise up and say, we are not going to settle for a powerless Christianity in our lives anymore. We are not going to be okay with a powerless gathering. We're not going to be okay for us just going through the motions. That's where it starts. It's where we say, no, we just want talk, but we want to walk in power. We have the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of power, and we're going to learn how to walk in the power of the Spirit. Amen? But it doesn't just happen. You don't just kind of mistakenly trip into it. It's something that we go after together. At the start of this year, Prophet Ewell Crawford spoke to us about a word that I really believe is so key. He talked about it as the year of the open door. And that God was opening doors, but that we had to make decisions to go through these doors. I want to say to you today, there's an open door, I believe, for walking in a greater dimension of the power of God. God is saying, the door is open. The work is finished. My son already did what he needed to do. I'm just looking for my children who will say, hey, I'm going to move past comfortable, lukewarm, lighthearted, easy, me first Christianity, and really take a step in and say, no, I want to give my life fully for the purposes of God. I want to walk in the power of God, and so I'm going to go through that door. You know, Matthew chapter 22, 29. Sometimes you pull these verses, you're like, man, I don't ever remember reading this verse before. But Jesus answered them saying, you are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Now, just as we're bringing this to a close, several thoughts I want us to take from this verse. First and foremost, we see that Jesus, in this statement, draws some level of equivalency between knowing the scriptures and knowing the power. Now, let me say this. If I was to be honest in my mind, I subconsciously often put a far higher emphasis on knowing the scriptures. Right? And I think we all would. It's important you know the scriptures. You ask anyone, should a Christian know the Bible? Yeah. Should a Christian read their Bible? Yeah. I mean, maybe some of us don't do it as much as we should, but we know we should. Should a Christian memorize the Bible? Yeah. Well, Jesus said just as important as knowing the Bible is you got to know the power. Right? In other words, it should be just as off to us as someone say, well, I'm a Christian, but I never read my Bible. And we go, whoa, something's not right here. You need to make an adjustment. That should be just as off to us as someone saying, I'm a Christian, but there's no power in my life. I'm a Christian, but I never see prayers answered. I'm a Christian, but I never lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Jesus said we need both. And we've leaned very heavily to knowing the scriptures, but I believe God wants to bring us into a place of balance so that we also would know the power. But it's interesting, too, because we go a little further, I think there's a connection between the two. So now is there equivalency between the two? But I believe there's a connection. What do I mean by this? The more you go into the scriptures, the more you start to see the power. Can I suggest today that maybe for many of us, the reason there's a low level of power is because there's a low level of the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word is Jesus made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God, Jesus cast them out at a word. The centurion said, I don't need you to come to my house to heal my servant. All I need is your word. And if I have your word, I know it will be done. If we would say, okay, I want to walk in the power. I want to learn how to flow in the power. What's going to come from me going deeper in the Word of God? There's a connection between the two. I also think based on this verse, we need to humbly consider that in many ways we have not leaned in to learn to walk in the power. And we're paying a price for it. Here's how it tends to go for most of us, guys. If can we just have an honest moment? We don't invest, pray, seek, search, grow in the power of God. Then we just kind of live this comfortable, easygoing Christian life. Then a situation comes up where we need the power. And all of a sudden, we get hardcore. Okay, let's fast. Let's pray. Let's do this. Let's do that. Now, I'm not against that. That's a good response. But sometimes we should have been already fasting. We should have been already praying. We should have already been digging into what God had for us. And then because we're not able to access the power in that moment, why? Because we were not cultivating. We were not learning how to walk in it. And because we didn't access that moment, we get discouraged. And we just, I don't want to hear about this. I don't want to preach about this. Because one time I prayed and it didn't happen. Right? Real talks. Real talks. See, what it suggests to me is we actually learn the power of God. Like, it's something we come to know. How many people here know everything there is to know about the Bible?
I was going to say, if anyone raised their hand, you can take over as a senior pastor of the church.
Right? Is there anyone here who, how many people here would say, there's a lot I don't yet know about the Bible? So our call is to say, let's go deeper. Well, if Jesus is drawing equivalency between these two things, why then is power either just yes or no, instead of saying this is something that we grow in and something that we learn and something that we walk in, how to manifest the power of God? And what if we started going to God and said, God, teach us to walk in the power of the Spirit. God, teach me to walk in a greater dimension, the power of the Spirit. I'm thankful for where you've brought me to, but I believe that there's more. I'm thankful for what you've done in my life, but I believe that there's more. I'm thankful for the answered prayers that I've seen, but I believe that there's more. I'm thankful for the miracles that we've seen and the signs we've seen and the good things that you've done, but I believe there's more. As long as there's a person in this church that is still sick, we've got to believe for more. As long as there's anyone in this church who's still struggling under addiction or under the power of the enemy, we still need to believe for more. And even if we get everybody in this church healed and whole and filled up, guys, there's a city out there that needs the power of God. The darkness is getting darker. We need people who are going to let the light shine. And it's not just singing kumbaya and waving your cell phone around. The light is the power of God and who He is. But see, we've got to have that heart that says, God, teach us to walk in the power. I'm not here preaching today as the expert who understands this all. I'm up here as a humble brother in Christ just saying, God, I need more of the power. I need to walk more in the power. In the day and age we're living in, guys, talk is not going to cut it. People are tired of talk. They don't want to hear talk. They're looking for something real. They're looking for, so why do you think that supernatural shows and like demon this and you know, this, that, all this stuff is so popular right now? It's because people are understanding they no longer can just believe in natural reasoning because they know that's failing. So they're looking for something bigger than themselves. But they're looking for power. They're looking for something real. And God's saying, who will walk with me so I can entrust them with the power of my Spirit? In the days we are living in, this has to be a non-negotiable. We have an opportunity to grow in power. We'll have one more real talk for a second. You know what I found in my life, and I'm sure for many people in this place, is the biggest hindrance to this type of message? It's the disappointments from our past. Right? If you just become a Christian and you go read the Bible, it makes sense to you we're supposed to walk in power. Right? It just makes sense. That's what the Bible says. But invariably what happens is, and that happened to me, I pray for someone or I pray for something and it doesn't happen.
I know in our family line, particularly from Pastor Sharon's side, we've had some very, difficult circumstances. No, we had a miscarriage. We lost our first child to miscarriage. Right? I'm not here as someone who's just had this beautiful little life. And I'm sure many of you could tell worse stories than me, and maybe some not. We're not here to compare our stories. But what happens for many of us is where we get off is, here's what's going to happen. We are going to face disappointments. And when we face a disappointment, we have two choices. The first choice is to go, we prayed. It didn't work the way we thought it was going to work. We didn't see the power manifested the way we need to. So I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. I tried it and it didn't work. So I'm not going to pray for power anymore. I'm not going to believe God for miracles anymore. That's the first option. Right? Because I'm not trying to minimize that at all because it hurts. And it's hard. I've walked with people. I've walked with my wife. I mean, we've seen the pain when it happens. But that's option A. Here's what option B becomes, though. Option B becomes you go, okay, this hurts. This sucks. I don't know why it didn't work. But I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. I'm actually going to push harder. I'm going to pray even more. I'm going to believe even more. I'm going to allow God to take what the devil's meant for evil and turn it for good. And this is going to become a stepping stone. It's going to be part of the history I'm building with God because I'm determined to both see what the Word of God says manifested in my life. And so the enemy thought that this failure or this setback could drop me down and knock me out, but it's actually just going to push me higher. It's like the eagle, guys. They talk about how the eagle, what happens is the eagle will get into storms or get into high winds. And where other birds, because of just the way they are, they've got to land. They've got to get out of that. But what the eagle does is the eagle just locks its wings. It locks its wings in place, and the winds that were meant to push it down into the ground actually propel it even higher. And it soars even higher. In the name of Jesus, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be shown to be in the wrong. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus said, not only will you do the works that I do, but you will do even greater works. And I just want to speak over your life right now, a break off of disappointment. Listen, you may not understand why, but don't let that define your life and your spiritual experience. Some of us are not believing for miracles because 10 years ago something didn't work. Listen, why not say, no, I'm not going to stop. This is actually going to push me even harder because we are going to see God's word manifest in people's lives. And even what seemed like a failure will simply be an offering before the Lord where I accept the peace that passes all understanding. And I make it part of my offering to him, but I press forward and say, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to slow down. I believe the word of God. Amen? Now, how about you? I want to do option two. I want to be one who goes after option two. You know, it's amazing. One thing my wife and I will comment about, and if keyboard is Justin here, I don't know if pastors know. One of the things that we have commented that, one of the things that I most appreciate is I'll meet saints, pastors, leaders, you know, who are in their later years. And they have such a sweet heart for God. You know, we talk about this. And I get to know them a bit. I hear their story. And they've been through battles. They got scars. They've prayed for some things and didn't see that, but they prayed for other things and saw them out. They've been on a journey with God. But instead of being bitter, instead of being skeptical because of what didn't happen, instead of being discouraged, their still hearts are soft, and they're still filled with faith. They're like Caleb and Joshua, where they're saying, listen, give me my mountain. I'm going to go take my mountain. I'm 80 years old. Give me my mountain. I'm going forward. Why? Because there's this persevering faith that God calls us into. The Holy Spirit empowers us to walk in persevering faith. It's part of his power. You know, we talk a lot about the healing, and we talk about signs and wonders, but there's a empowerment of the Holy Spirit that gives us persevering faith that says, you know, through the ups and downs of life, through the challenges and the battles, I still choose to believe. I believe when I see, but even if I don't see, I still believe. And didn't Jesus say to Thomas, blessed are you? Blessed are those you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who see even when they, who believe when they don't see. Guys, let's be people who choose option two. If we go on this journey together, guys, we are going on a journey where everything won't be perfect all the time. We're going to go into some battles, and at the end, we might not see what we thought we were going to see. But if we don't go on the journey, we won't see anything. And so it's setting our hearts in that powering of the Holy Spirit of persevering faith that says we're going to believe. We're going to stand. I remember actually, this just came back to me. Early on, several years ago, we had heard about a pastor's daughter, and she was really sick. And she was basically just about gone. And my heart had just been really stirred, and I had a relationship. I can't remember who we contacted, but I contacted him. I said, hey, could some of us just come and pray? Like, would you be okay if we come and pray for her? And he said, yeah, that'd be great. Come on over. So we got into the house, and, you know, she's there, and she's really close to death. Like, it just, you know, you can walk in, and it's like, I think she started to lose her sight, and she wasn't very aware of the world around her, but they brought her in, and mom and dad are there, and man, we just started worshiping God. And we just started praying. And we said, God, we're believing you to raise her up. And we got a chance to go once, and I think, so we went back again. And then we kind of lost touch with them, and so we found out further on she did pass away, and she went to heaven, which is a win anyways in the big picture of things. But obviously, we were believing for healing. And, you know, it was hard in one level, because we wanted to see her raised up. She was just this young lady. She had this amazing testimony, amazing life. And you were there with her parents, and, you know, you just want to see her raised up. But it's interesting. I came across, we kind of lost touch with them. And to be honest with you, I was a little bit, I thought, oh, maybe did we do something that offended them? Like, we didn't mean to. We were just trying to, you know, and it really wasn't the case. But, you know, in your mind, stuff. But I remember I saw recently someone gave me a copy of a book. The dad had written a book about the journey. And I flipped to the one page, and he talked to me. He said, you know, I want to get it right. Forgive me. I'm going to try and get it right because it's this more vague story. He started sharing about the story of this group of young people that came into the house and came in and said, we want to pray with you. We want to worship with you. And he said, it filled us with so much faith. He said it meant so much to us that they would come and they would worship with us. And he just wrote about the whole journey of what it was. And, you know, in the end, it didn't end up where we wanted to. But, guys, at least we said, let's get in there and do something. If you don't do anything, you're not going to get anything. And at best, we were able to be there with this young lady and just let her know there are people worshiping with her and people aren't going to give up. And she's not alone in her battle. But, see, guys, it's this heart that says, I don't have this promise that, oh, we're going to see 100% record or this or that. Jesus saw 100%. We don't see it yet. But I think that every time we take a step of faith, we move a little closer. And every time we step out, we move a little closer. And every time we say, I'm going to push past the disappointments and push past and choose to believe. Anyone can believe when they've never been disappointed. Anyone can believe when everything is working the way they want them to. But there's a spirit of faith that says, you know, I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little hurt. I'm a little struggling right now. But Jesus, help my unbelief. I still choose to believe. And there's something about I believe that just pleases God so much when he sees his kids step out in faith and say, I believe, right? When he says, I believe, it does something in his heart. And so I don't regret going one inch. Do I wish we saw the power manifest and so she's raised up? Yeah, I wish we saw it. I know her parents would have wished she saw it. But you know what? God was still did a lot in that situation. I don't have all the answers. I'm not God. But it doesn't mean I'm now going to say, well, we're never going to go pray for anybody else. In my heart, I'm saying, let's go again. Let's pray again. Let's believe God again. And I want to encourage us that we would embrace this heart even in the midst of this. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked on this, but I just feel like God's message. I want to encourage you in that. That's right. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. We're going to land this thing. I actually feel the Holy Spirit on this. I didn't even go this direction in the first service. If you're listening to me, you're going, man, I've been disappointed. I've been hurt. I've really had that. And I realize as you're preaching right now that it's caused me to kind of, you know, not believe the same way anymore. And I'm not here with some, like, nice little neat answer that's going to answer every question you have. But I'm here with a person. His name is Jesus. And I'm here with the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to say to you, whatever the devil meant for evil, don't let it stay evil. Let it actually be part of what propels you into the fullness of what God has. And so if you're in here and you say, I really recognize I've been hit by disappointment and things, I want you just to raise your hand. Wherever you are, head bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to pray for you for a second. If you say, I've been hit by disappointment.